Wolf Spirit Radio. Simon actively encourages you to post your questions live to him in the chat room at wolfspiritradio.com/listen. When you ask a question in the chat room, please make sure that you've logged into the Chat and Go. That's the set name at the bottom, that you have a nickname, and that you ask one question in all caps. That makes it easiest for us to collate. Thank you. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests, and up-to-date news. Please join Simon and play an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Oh, yes, indeed, you are listening to Wolf Spirit Radio, and this is live, 7 p.m. UK time, 11 PST. On Wolf Spirit Radio, broadcasting from the Scotland studio here in Bonnie, Scotland, beaming down with Bonnie Whitby in the middle of England. Your host. I walked down a cul-de-sac there. Your host tonight, Simon Parks. Good afternoon, Simon.
Good afternoon. You did really well there, JP. You started off in a fantastic way, and then after about 7 to 8 seconds, you ran out of steam.
I always do. I can never do these big... I have to go to... introduction school, introducer school. Anyway,
it's lovely to be back on the show, because obviously we did the round table not very long ago, so it seems, I'm back again, but... this is the regular show. This is the important one.
It was great. I just wanted to kind of allow you all to kind of free flow with it. So it took a little while for you all to get kind of going, but it's an unusual format. Nobody's ever done this before, I don't think. It was very pleasing that it did, the ball started to roll and started to gather moss.
It's
my metaphors.
Well, who better? I deliberately, for the first half an hour or 20 minutes of the round table, just kept out of it because I wanted a win to establish a rapport with the others. So I think people thought that I was getting warmed up. I was actually deliberately just letting a win get involved with that. So I really did enjoy it. It was an excellent opportunity to talk to everybody. And it was always with these things, of course, JP. It's never enough time, is there? But it was really good. And the feedback from the people, which is what really matters, not actually what the guys around the table think, but, the feedback from the people was that they enjoyed it. And there's no point in doing these shows unless people enjoy it. Yes, you've got to give relevant and up-to-date information if you have it. But it must be done in an enjoyable way, isn't it? It's not a good sort of thinking back in school and very serious face and, it's the end of the world. Well, that's not the message we want. So, it can be fun. It can be enjoyable as long as we're getting the information out there. So, if we can do more with other guests, then that would be brilliant.
That will be excellent, excellent. And, the other thing that I noticed while we were doing the show... was that it was all guys, wonderful that was, as that was, we are moving into a more feminine age. So I thought, the next one I'm going to do is with some elder females. So or female elders, let's put it that way. It's hard, it's hard to say, but, who like you guys have been around, know your stuff. And actually, one of my guests tonight is Eve Lorgan, of the Alien Love Bite experience. Mm.
That will be interesting.
It will be interesting. So do stick around for that.
I would like to, simply because that obviously that topic is something that I do work with, in the sense that it's. Not just alien, but it's sort of what the black magicians use in terms of manipulating people and controlling people. So that's a topic that is close to my heart in terms of something that I deal with on a regular basis. And very, very few people actually out there have a handle on this, and very few of them are prepared to talk, so I probably will stick around to hear what she says.
Excellent. Well, it's going to be a really studied evening, because after this show, now normally Nancy and Walt run a kind of commentary on what you and I have been talking about in the next 2 hours, but today we've brought in Solaris Blue Raven. I'm not sure if you know about Solaris, but
I've heard the name, but haven't actually met the person.
She's got great experiences in, or a large number of experiences, they weren't great, artificial telepathy. She was used as an experiment and basically, used the training to overcome them and to overcome the programming and understand how it all works. So she's on the other side of these things and can see right through stuff. People who are like channelers who have been, basically there's a guy with a microwave beam and a microphone. So,
Chris,
having said all that.
Right, before we crack on with the questions, there's some up-to-date news because, I sometimes watch some stuff on YouTube, and there are some people that just talk about stuff that happened 20 years ago. And as interesting as that is, and I think there's always a place in a show to talk about past stuff, I think that's very important. But, that's not what we need. What we need is up-to-date information. And I've got some up-to-date information, which I want the audience to hear. And then obviously when it goes onto YouTube, then it can be disseminated out. The elite families, some elements of the elite families have called for a extraordinary special meeting of the council. This is their own council, their own group, in May. There are a very vociferous group of people, probably numbering between 3 and 6 of this council, who are pushing for some dramatic action this year. And they've got their motion before the council, if you like. So there's enough of them who've decided that it has to be decided one way or the other. So there's a special meeting. Now, whether it'll be at the Rothschild Pyramid in Glastonbury, I don't know, but it's going to be in Britain. Now, it won't be like a Bilderberger meeting where all the cameras are there. This is going to be a secret meeting that no one's really outside of the circle is going to know about. But it is going to be held in Britain because this is the land of the energies. So it's going to be in May. I do not know the date, but it'll be in May, and there will be some propositions put to the council, and these will be some pretty far-reaching things. Obviously, none of them any good for humanity, and if any of them are, they're going to take a vote. They always do. There's sometimes they take a hands show. Sometimes they do what in the Freemasons with the colored balls, but they're going to take a vote, and if it's passed, then whatever action they are aiming at, they're going to go for. The other thing I want to let everybody know is that in the news, the governor of the Bank of England, and for American listeners, that's the same guy who would be head of your Fed. The governor of the Bank of England has actually officially come out and said that this is a boomerang recession, and that the boomerang is coming back this year. Now, that in itself, probably most people would say, well, that's not that big a news. But the Rothschilds have, through an agency, have done an audit of the value of Great Britain. In other words, they have audited every house in Britain. So they have come up with a notional value in money of all the properties, domestic properties, and it's very low. It's come in at about between 2.2, I understand, and 2.5 trillion. This is pounds sterling, which is much less than I thought, but nevertheless, that's the figure they've come up with, between 2.2 and 2.5 trillion. Now, this is the first time in a generation that a country has been valued. The last time I'm aware that this happened was in America, during the Great Depression, and also in Germany between the two wars. My understanding from the very small snatched conversations that I've been able to have is that they are intending to crash the housing market in Great Britain. and then go in and buy up as much as they can. So they've done a value of 2.5 trillion. That's the value of it. They're trying to suck the assets out of Great Britain and, to another extent, the Western world, America, so that they got as much real wealth as they can get their hands on before the crash comes. So we have a special meeting then, just to recap, an extraordinary special meeting to be held in May at an unknown location, but looking like it will be in Great Britain. A group of psychopaths, we could probably call them all psychopaths, but they're not all, but a group of psychopaths are pushing for the final solution, and I'm using that word deliberately. It's not the Jews they want to kill off, it's just anybody that's human. They are pushing a number of motions before the council to see if they can force the issue this year. Running alongside that, from the financial side, the Rothschilds then have valued property, which means that there is a crash going to be engineered, or that's the plan. So that's the latest up-to-date news. You will not find that on the internet. You won't find that anywhere else. You know, this has come to me very recently, and you are the first. This is, you know, our radio show, so, you know, I'm sharing it here. So that's my news, JP.
Yeah, well, indeed, it is your show. I'm just here as a producer, and you know, one day when the music stops, you'll say, "Hello, everybody, this is Simon Fox." when you're kind of acclimatized to the whole thing, but I just like to thank everybody.
I don't like to do that.
Oh.
No, I deliberately don't do that because I use this radio show as a medium to connect with people. Mm-hmm. It is not where I blow a trumpet or where I become big-headed or where it's my radio show. I've got a radio show. You know, but some people fall down that trap, and that's how they get caught, and that's how they get sucked in, and that's how they get corrupted. You know, it only takes to drop your guard in one way, and then you can be drawn down in. So I deliberately don't. I like you to introduce it. It's your radio, and you have invited me on a monthly basis to talk.
Bless you.
And that may seem very, very, I don't know, silly, but I've always, and people who've followed me for a number of years know that I'm particularly careful not to make the mistakes that others have made. So that's why I don't. So I always want you just to open the show, really.
Oh, well, in that case, welcome to Simon Parks and Connecting Consciousness. So shall we dive into the first question?
Good.
And the first question is like, oh, where do we come? This is so off the field. Simon Parks from Ashley. Do you know anything about the 10, 12 and 4-10 dates covertly hidden in all TV shows and movies? Does this have to do with Passover 2017? So do you understand the question?
Yes. Just as when we had the Olympics, it spelt Zion. Do you remember the logo for the Olympics?
2012, if you spun it around, it came out Zion.
Zion. Yeah. Correct. Well, this is the same thing. So she's absolutely right. That's not widely known.
Well, there you go.
So good. She spotted it. Brilliant.
So, and still on numbers.
Get her on the show.
Yeah, and still on numbers, and she's saying, does the double symmetry in your email mean anything? What is your middle name?
Ooh. Okay, now the internet is interesting. We've always had no problems. As soon as we talk about Zion, the internet connection is pretty awful. But I did hear your question. Can you confirm that you can hear me still, JP?
Perfectly.
Oh, right, okay. So I'm struggling. But okay, I did hear that. The reason that 7 is in my number is because that's my birthday.
Ah, good. Okay, so now, from Andrea Delilah.
I could add to that. Hang on.
Please, go ahead.
7 is my birthday. But from the reptilian standpoint, the number 6 is the number given to what they call the gods. They're not gods, they're just the reptilians. 6 is the number of the gods, the reptilians. 7 is the number given to the male. and 8 is the number given to the female. So when I had interaction with mum, and they said that, you know, I was born on the 7th, which I was, the 7th of September, and they said, you were born on the 7th month. And I said, no, I wasn't. I was born in September, which is the 9th month. And they said, no, you were born on the 7th month. So I couldn't work that out. And then on another interaction, I went back to that topic. They never get cross or frustrated with me. They're very, very patient. And they said, no, what in Latin is sept? Well, sept is 7. So they said, that's why you were born on the 7th. So to them, although we know September is the 9th month, it's the word is sept, and that's the beginning of the word sept, 7. So for their, as far as they were concerned, I was born on the 7th of September, 7-7-1959.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because of course September is sept, which is 7, and the 7th month used to be the 7th month before we adopted the Gregorian calendar.
Exactly.
So
it was, for, as they were concerned, it was 7 is my number because I am the male. So I am given the number 7.
It gets deeper, Simon.
So there you go. That's why you got 7 on my email address.
No, but it gets even deeper because she also noticed, I think it's Ashley Buttermilk. I'm sure it's a female. confirmed. She's in the chat room. She's saying that Simon adds up to 7 and Parks adds up to 7. That's what she was talking about. She was actually talking about the numerological value of your name, which is also 2-7.
Yes, because I'm the male. I am the male.
So the female would have a number 88?
8. Yes.
2 fat ladies. Anyway, sorry. Bingo reference there.
Don't start calling numbers, will you?
Yeah, I know. Just call my number. All right, so let's move on, unless you've got any more 7 related. I mean, I've got a 7 thing, because I read the 7 rays, you see, and there's 7 levels of everything, and 7 goes
through. Well, it is. Seven is a very important number in many things, yeah. Now, let's get on to the next question. I'm fed up with that.
Hello. This is from Andrea Delilah. Hello, dear JP and dear Simon. Some reptilian souls incarnated in Earth human bodies. What does it mean for each soul and for the reptilian race? It is not only for the soul a chance to decide for the good, to what extent influence the change of some reptilian souls, the whole race? Thank you both for the important work. With love from Connecting Consciousness, Germany.
Oh, that's a really nice thing. That's lovely. Many, many people, regardless of whether they're, reptilians or whoever they are as a soul, will come here for a journey, just a personal journey, and then they will become involved in other things. If they become awakened. But in a number of occasions, some souls have incarnated here to influence at a higher level. So you are perhaps a mantid or reptilian or palladian, and the decisions that you make on this planet, what you do and how you do it, has an energy effect outside of this reality, outside of this dimension. And we can actually change perceptions that others have of us. And that's one of the key reasons in the reptilian line, the reptilians have incarnated here in an effort to try to change their direction. So I think she understands that, and that's a good question.
Interesting. I could talk about that for quite a while, about the connection between that and Babylon 5. But anyway, I won't. Anyway, Max, he calls himself Max of Steel. This is not Max Steel. Long story, long question. All right. Simon Parks. Hi, Mr. Parks. I know that my question might seem dangerous, and this is why I'm asking it to you. Is it possible to contact and ask to an entity from your star family to mentor you? And if so, and do so, if you get an answer, how do you tell for sure that the entity is good and honest? Would you even recommend doing this exercise? Thank you for your honesty and devotion.
Well, thank you for those nice words. I like the bit about honesty and devotion because, like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm always continually having to challenge myself and ask myself, am I behaving in a way, when I'm on radio that's the right way to be. So that's nice. Thank you for recognizing that. Mentoring. I think I can go with mentoring. You know, I've made it very clear that I don't have much time for people who, you know, sit on top of mountains and, you know, other people go climbing up the mountain and, you know, give offerings and, you know, ascended masters, et cetera, et cetera. So mentoring is okay. It's quite cool. I like that. You have to ask your own soul whether you think this entity is good, means you good, and means humanity good. And if, you know, you will know, you know, you will know, everybody knows. And if you feel that it's a positive thing for you and a positive thing for humanity, then yes, by all means, open up a communication network. And, you know, if you have that two-way dialogue, then you can say, I think you have to be quite specific and say, you know, this is a particular area you wish to develop or learn. What can they do to speed up your development on that line? It's not about giving your sovereignty away. It's not about, you know, being subservient in that sense, but it's about saying, I recognize that you guys have millions of years ahead of us in terms of history. So would you like to share that with me so that I can develop? That's a big difference from somebody saying to me, oh, please, can you arrange for me to have contact? You know, which I don't do, because I'll say to people, if you're meant to have it, you are meant to have it. And if it's not happening, it doesn't mean anything. It just means that it just wasn't for you in this lifetime. But that doesn't mean in a previous lifetime that you didn't have that contact. So I like the mentoring. I think that's pretty good. So yeah, go for it.
Okay, so the next question is from Paul Brevetti. Hello, Simon. Before my question, I would like to thank you for helping me get rid of a djinn. You're a godsend. My question is, I used to work...
Go ahead. Just want to say thank you to him for that. you know, this is the work that the vast majority of the public don't know. You know, they know I do a radio show, they know I do talks, but they don't know the other work I do. And removing djinn is, you know, I'm not the only one that does it. And thank goodness there are many people who can do it and are prepared to do it. But it's nice to get the feedback, because normally when somebody is afflicted like that, the last thing they want to do is advertise the fact and talk about it. And I very rarely hear from these people again, because it's like Simon Parks knows something very personal about me, and I'm a bit embarrassed. And of course, I don't discuss it. It's a safe secret. So when someone says, cool, I've got rid of it, thank God for that, now I can get on with my life, that's a really nice thing. And it shows that person is really strong and has developed really well. So just wanted to say that, JP. So yeah, go on. What's the question?
But just as a little corollary for that, there are other people who can remove djinn in the world. I mean, you're not the only person who can do that.
No.
Because, maybe you need to have a list of some colleagues, because you get busy sometimes, don't you? Anyway, so Paul's question. Okay. My question is, I used to work with essential oils a while back, but they were diluted and for commercial use. I have found 100% pure essential oils from a Native American company. The question is, can the use of essential oils actually heal and not just treat symptoms and diseases? Love and light to all. Smiley face.
Right. It's not the oils in themselves that heal. It is the practitioner behind them. In other words, if you just pour lovely exotic oils on somebody, that won't necessarily heal them. It is the energy of the individual manipulating the energies and the oils and the goodness of the oils, and opens up the connections. That's where the healing is. Yes, if you're using a commercially based product, it's going to be full of rubbish, generally. Not always, but generally it'll be full of rubbish, and you don't want to be using it. You might, with some of the essential oils, want to have a very pure water just to dilute them down a bit. If you have a client who's the first time to a session, you might find the oils are very strong, and therefore the energies are strong. So you might want to just dilute it for the first session. The oils on their own don't heal. It is the person manipulating the energies that does the healing. And some people use crystals, some people use oil, some people don't use any of that. But it's usually a, this is a 3D planet, and many people need, it's not a prop, but many people need that bridge to connect between the energy of themselves, which does the healing, and the physical connection of the individual. So it has to travel from an energy base and either convert or go through into a physical bone, sinew, muscle, whatever it might be. And so sometimes using oils, minerals, sound, whatever that might be, that's what people use. There's no right and wrong. If you are if you are able to heal, then you should be doing it. You know, you should be helping people if you possibly can. So that's my answer. And thank you for you know, telling me that that I've helped you, and that's what I'm about. So that's great.
Okay. So another question: that you're a tonic for these djinn. Sorry, bad joke. Anyway, hi, Simon. Sorry.
How long has it been waiting to come out with that one?
I don't know. It must be microseconds. You know, it's just like just an instant. I thought, yeah, cool. Anyway, hi, Simon. This is from Declan. Now, this is djinn, demonic possession or depression. Right. So what is basically, I'll be brief about it, is basically saying that the symptoms that you gave for djinn possession are also the same symptoms as what people call depression. So how do you know that you're possessed and not just depressed? That's the gist of the first part. It's got some more things. Anyway, go on.
Let's just go, yeah. Because of my dyslexia, if you read them all out,
understood. It's a different topic. So yeah. How do you know if it's a djinn, and how do you know if you're just kind of, you've just had too much SSRI and you're high on this stuff and it's telling you to kill yourself or kill granny or something?
Right. Okay. In a number of cases, having a possession does lead to depression. It all depends on how much the conscious mind is aware of the situation within yourself. It's a gradual gradation. So you might literally have only your deep subconscious mind being aware and your conscious mind is not. As a person begins to break through the barriers, they begin to get some understanding of what's happening to them. The depression comes in, and the phrase I use for people in that particular zone, for want of a better word, is they know something is wrong, but they cannot put their finger on it. So what I always do is just to remove the 3D elements. So you look at, you know, are you taking any medication? You know, is there a history of this in the family? What's the job situation? What's your relationship situation? How many years has this gone on? And after about 15 to 20 minutes with a Skype with me, the person, their own deep subconscious communicates with their conscious mind, and they begin to understand a little bit more about what the situation is. Now, if they have a depression, a clinical depression, I'm not the man for them. You know, there are going to be other healers. I don't suggest you go to a quack, or I beg your pardon, to a doctor. But I do suggest that you go to a healer who can assist with that depression. If the depression is because that's part of your reaction to a energy attack, then maybe I can help you. So often the individual knows something's wrong, but they don't know what it is. But they could speak to me, or they could speak to anyone else who's genuine, and they'll tell them whether they've got an attachment or not. Okay, next question.
But just the last part. Mm. Has anybody ever come to you saying,
The answer is yes, they have. And I've had to say to them, I'm not convinced because I don't detect it, I don't see it. And I would suggest that, you know, you see this sort of healer or that sort of healer. But I have to say that I would say 75% of the people who have come to me believing they have something like that have been spot on. You know, it ranges from, oh, I saw it, right through to, you know, I've wanted to harm myself, or, you know, my memory is deteriorating at a very great rate. So, I think most people are aware that something's wrong and they have a fairly good clue, but there are a percentage of people who, these demons, and I like that word, it's a church word, but I use it. Some of them are chameleon-like, just like a soldier, he or she will wear camouflage clothing to hide in the undergrowth. So some of these demons actually alter the frequency of the outer part of their living form to match the vibrational frequency of the host, the person they're in, so the person actually isn't aware they have an attachment. It's very, very clever. I don't mean it's good, but it's very genius that they can do that. So the entity's internal system stays at the same rather negative vibrational rate, but they can temporarily boost the exterior part to mimic. They can't actually be that person, but they mimic it. So it's sometimes very hard for someone who's not necessarily gifted in that way to be able to detect them.
Excellent. So, thank you. Because that's some very important information. So, meanwhile, back at the question. So, I would ask you, this is from Declan. All right. So here's his proper question, right?
That was a proper question.
Yeah. I know. But I mean, like, this is like another question. All right. Then you would like to ask him about the 33rd parallel line of the Earth and why is it so important to secret societies? Are they stealing the Earth's energy for their own means? Are there stargates along these lines? And was Atlantis built on the 33rd parallel line? Thanks.
Well, three and three equals six. That's your first point. Okay, and we've just talked about numbers and how, you know, with elites, you add numbers together, you can do other things, but one of the most common systems is to add the two separate numbers together. A lot of the terrible atrocities that have been caused, whether they've been bomb blasts on trains or aeroplanes crashing into towers, when you add up the numbers, perhaps of an aeroplane flight, or the number of a train, or trains and planes carry identification numbers, when you add up those numbers or you add up the day of the week and the month that these things happen, they are all key dates to a very crazy group of people. 33rd, 3 and 3 is 6, but it's to do with the way the Earth spins. On that line, it's considered to be not sacred or special, but number of the energies of the way the planet tilts. Whether it's right or not doesn't matter, in the sense that that is what is believed by these elite people, that position around the Earth contains the energies from the crust or from the molten material underneath that's giving that energy, and it's always considered a good portent. So I think sometimes they divide a country, they call it parallel this or parallel that. But they're looking for energies that will push them forward, just like why the Bank of England is built where it is. It's on a very important energy ley line. Most banks in this country are built on lines because the bad guys want to corrupt that energy to make more money. They shouldn't be surprised, if, you know, you have you have a leprechaun. I forget what they call them now, but you can put that on a £10 note and it's supposed to bring you more money. Well, that's the view that you can use the energies, but you can twist them to, your own designs. And that's what the 33 is. So any coordinates that add up to a significant number, something that we'll look at. You know, why did the Rothschilds build their pyramid where they did? Why does anybody with elite knowledge do what they do? Because they are trying to tap into natural or unnatural energies and trying to use that energy for themselves. You know, you have your picture on Skype, JP, which is you looking at a pyramid. And, you know, it's amazing to think that back in the 1960s, Wilkinson Sword produced a pyramid, and you used to, in the old days, you took your razor blade out and you put it in your metal pyramid. And the way that the pyramid operates in metal is it ionizes the razor blade. So it self-sharpened that razor blade. And these were very popular. I think it was in the late 50s, and I would love to get my hands on one because it would be a fantastic piece of kit. But of course, they realized that the people weren't buying razor blades because they were just sharpening the old ones, so they soon stopped that. So once people understand that our energies work either through the unseen air or through the ground, then anything military or political will follow on. That's why these meetings, why do you think Strasbourg, the center of the European Union, was put in Strasbourg? You know? So that's it. So yes, that's exactly what it's about.
Thank you very much, Simon. I have to say, I've been building pyramids for 22 years now, and they are a very edifying construction to actually figure out, to do the maths and all that stuff, to figure out how to make joints at angles and all that stuff, is an incredibly, you have to learn a lot of things. It's a lot more than you think.
Yes, it is, and it's a science that was lost and rediscovered, then lost again, and has been rediscovered. But the problem is that the people rediscovering it are the elite. And it was a Russian oligarch back in the 1990s, through his own personal fortune, who I think built 5 or 6 scale model pyramids in Russia. And you are, I know, familiar with some of the research that was done. And one of the researchers, they took hardened criminals from Russian jails, I think are pretty awful, from a Russian jail, and they put them in a pyramid. I don't know, it's 1/8 scale or something. And they did it for a week. And then they followed them in terms of their history, and they found that the reoffending rate was something like only 5%. It was phenomenal. So, you know, but why would you build, if you're the elite, why would you build a pyramid in every primary school so that children could go in the morning and be really refreshed, go and learn, and then come back before they come home and be in the pyramid and have every workplace have a pyramid, when you've got pharmaceutical industry to sell you drugs? So until we get rid of this command and control system, and we can then go back to the energies and the science that was lost but has been rediscovered, and we can totally change humanity. It's not just O-free energy, or, you know, they talk about the American zero-point energy. That's what they focus on all the time. But there are so many other healing properties that are being hidden from the people. You know, when is the last time a leader of a significant country died of cancer? You know, people need to understand that the elite have access to information and technologies of a medical sense that at one time was common on the planet, and everybody knew it and everyone shared it because nobody was better than anybody else. You know, and I have said before on a previous conference that Her Majesty the Queen in England only goes to one hospital, and I showed photographs of one of the nurses coming out with a buckle on her belt with the Freemasonry sign. And there is no record of any medical school or organization that is in charge of nursing in Great Britain that has a Freemason buckle. And yet this one did. So the elite have access to things that we should all have. So, yeah, pyramids are a fantastic thing and can be used for good. And the Russians know about it and, you know, tried these experiments, which worked very well.
Indeed. I would, you know what I'd say? Get the prisoners to build pyramids and you'd have fantastic people at the end of it. It's edifying, literally edifying. So, without further ado, let's move on to Vettel. Orbs. Hello, Simon. I once saw 3 bright yellow orbs hovering about 20 meters over the treetops. They were positioned in a triangle similar to a Pythagoras triangle. At one point, one of the orbs started to fly slowly around the other two. I watched them with amazement, but had to leave shortly after. I was wondering if there's any way of finding out which star race these orbs came from, since they have been on my mind for a long time. Thank you for all your work. From Norway, with love.
From Norway, that's nice. With love. Were you singing?
No, that was my mind. You heard it in my mind. I thought
that was one of your jingles. Well, it may surprise the person. The way I would come at this would be to look at the star family that they are from. Most of the, what they're describing is a non, is an automated, inspection drone. That's what they're describing to me. It's a sensor, basically. But they normally travel, or the bigger ones travel in the infrared light spectrum. So if they were visible, I'm convinced that they were visible because they wanted to be seen. It's like many alien spacecraft. People, you know, get a glimpse of them and they do these weird dances. And I say, look, you know, you need to understand that there's a message there and the message is for you, because they would normally be outside of the visual human scene. Right, three balls in a triangle. Generally, the triangle is not a positive sign when used by off-planet entities. It's generally associated with Anunnaki or Grey. If you think that Americans have the triangle spacecraft, the black triangle. But it's not always the case. My question would be, which of the orbs at the three points of the triangle started to move, and did it move clockwise or counterclockwise? But without that information, I would say that it could either, and this is going to be sound odd, it's either reptilian or it's Palladian, because they both use automated drones. The Palladians stroke Lyrans use those automated drones to create the crop circles. Those drones do it. The reptilians use them purely and simply for taking samples from air. They're not involved in the cattle mutilations, but they are observation platforms so that they can be around and about quickly. And what you will often find is them being chased by helicopters, either from the United States Air Force or Britain's Royal Air Force. So orbs are often intercepted by helicopters, and occasionally it's the other way around, in the sense that you will find orbs being escorted by Chinook American double rotor helicopters, or what we call the black helicopters. It depends if the alien race behind those orbs has made a previous arrangement with someone in authority on this planet to have a connection at a set time in a set location. But if these things just turn up, they're very hard to spot on radar. They often operate below radar for a start, and they are made of a material not unlike that of some of the B-2 bomber, so that radar waves are absorbed into the metal. So I would like to know the soul makeup of that individual. I would like to know which of the three orbs started to move, and whether it moved clockwise or counterclockwise. But well done for observing that. Thank you.
Wow, very in-depth answer there. Thank you very much. Now, from Fran. Dear Simon, thank you for your amazing dedication to helping humanity in so many ways. I love this show. My question is, there have been many books, movies, TV shows that seem to be a kind of soft disclosure. Jupiter Ascending, Stargate, Star Trek, Ascension, Contact, Extant. I'm wondering if they have a good or bad intent behind them, or perhaps they simply are a reflection of the collective unconscious waking up. If they have a bad intent, how can writers get airtime for visionary stories that help reprogram humanity in positive ways?
Oh, what a good question. I like Jupiter Ascending, because it had a flying motorbike in it.
And the flying boots as well. Cool.
I don't remember the boots, but I remember the flying motorbike, and I remember that I didn't see the film on my own. I saw it with two very, very special friends. And I remember we all commented about the flying motorbike, and we thought that would be nice to make that. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's aside. Now let's get to the question.
Get your bismuth out.
Right. It's a very, very, it's a vital question, because not all directors of movies are corrupt. And many directors or producers of movies get given a brief. You will have to do this. So the punchline of a story has to end in a certain way. And I'll give you an example, would be Tomorrowland. which we actually partly talked about when we did our round table, although I haven't seen it fully. But it doesn't stop a producer or a director adding his or her own warnings into the body of the film, providing they're still doing the beck and call of the people who paid for it in the first place. So what can happen? What I think needs to happen is that individuals who make films need to be brave and start to put into the films more of a wake-up call. Now, as it stands at the moment, if they were too brave, they would never be a director again. They would never be asked to produce or direct. And, you know, I can't ask or expect somebody to throw away their livelihood. They may have a husband or a wife to feed or a loved one and children. And that would be an unfair thing to do. But I don't think it's unfair to ask these people to start to balance their films and see how far you can push before the elites say, oh, no, you can't have that. So, you know, don't just blindly do the bidding of these people. Try and put in an element. And that's what I think we're seeing. If you see a futuristic film, you'll see elements midway in the film or early on in the film which are a warning to us. And then as it reaches the end of the film, this is what the guys at the top of the ivory tower have paid for, and then you get the message they want to give the people. So I understand, although I've not seen it myself, in Tomorrowland, the message at the end of the film is AI is good, which we know it isn't. But if you look at the rest of the film, it's full of warnings or full of helpful hints. And that's what I want these producers and directors to do, is to actually stop being the bloody animal that's poked and prodded with a stick and does what it's told. It needs to start deciding it's going to stop and, you know, use its ability and skills to try to help humanity. So, you know, look at Stanley Kubrick. Stanley Kubrick made 2001: A Space Odyssey because he had done something for NASA. And because he'd done something for NASA prior to that, and he was given carte blanche to do whatever he wanted, and he was totally left alone until he did Eyes Wide Shut, when he went too far from their perspective and began to give away too many secrets, and that's why he was murdered. And that's why the film was stolen and altered. And the copy that we see, Wide Eyes Shut, is not the original that he envisaged. So directors, just like politicians who look at JFK and think, oh my goodness me, I daren't do this because I will be assassinated. So directors are thinking, well, you know, if I don't do what I'm told, you know, it's the old I'm following orders. Well, I think it's time for humanity to say, no, I'm not having any more of that. You know, to hell with it. I am going to, if I have a conscience, and I'm going to actually put something in. So what I ask people is just push back a little bit. See how far you can go with it. Good question. I would expect a good question from Fran. Thank you.
Excellent. This is from Fran. That was from Fran Hehal.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So Rainbow Weaver. Hi, Simon and JP. I was brought up a Jehovah's Witness, which I found an extremely damaging experience. Due to the covert mind control fear-mongering, I stopped going as soon as I was old enough. I've done a lot of personal healing over the last years since I got away, but I still have a negative fear and nausea fight-or-flight reaction if I see, hear, or anything to do with Jehovah or the Witnesses. Could my subconscious mind still need deprogramming? Or is my intention and free will enough to protect myself? Is Jehovah Yahweh Anu? Is Jehovah?
Hang on, let's just...
Otherwise, because there's a bit of a...
No, I want to answer them all.
Go ahead, please.
This is very serious. Right, the first question.
So is my intention and will enough to protect myself?
Right. No, unless you have worked with your shadow self and you have done a bit of your own deprogramming, that's my own terminology, but in order to do that, you have to understand what was done to you, if something was done to you. I mean, you can be a member of these sects or religious groups and just be on the periphery, and you were just a, member who goes round every Sunday or what have you, and that's all there is to it. But if you are an interesting soul or a bloodline person, they will come after you, no question of that. The number of people who have been members of these very, very secretive religious organizations who I've worked with is phenomenal. And it's not just Jehovah's Witness. If you think about the Osmonds, the jolly old Osmond brothers, you know, they have a, one of their, release a double LP, a vinyl, double vinyl record. And you open the front cover of this and there's a huge flying saucer. Well, there's a flying saucer in the middle. And you think, why would people who are Mormons, I think they were Mormons, why would Mormons, want to put flying saucer on their cover of their record? Because that surely goes against, you know, what they believe in. And when you actually understand these religions, what you understand is that the very, very top 2 to 3% of the Jehovah Witness organization understand Jehovah or Yahweh as a non-human entity, as actually a reptilian god. So, the Jehovah's Witnesses, 95% of them are very dedicated, very, very loyal to what they do. They believe in it very strongly, and I've always been very careful not to criticize individuals for believing or choosing to believe in something. I've criticized people for giving away their power to somebody else, but not, you know, the religion side of it. And here we go, the numbers again. Jehovah said that he would save 144,000 people. 144,000 people. Which isn't a very good religion, because when Jehovah's Witnesses come round and they recruit more people, their likelihood of getting saved gets less and less.
They're looting it, yeah.
Yeah, at least the Christian one had it right, was you can all be saved. So, you know, the club is as big as everyone. I have worked with a very large number of people who have escaped, and I'm using that word, has escaped Jehovah's Witness, and have been involved where demons, my favorite word, have actually been called and put into people, and they've seen it. And, you know, and they've had that done to them. And, you know, you're thinking, well, it's got absolutely zero to do with religion. It's got everything to do with control. And anybody who has been out on the high street shopping, and there have been these people from religious groups who've been out recruiting, I will always tell you they have piercing eyes. Their eyes are unnatural. They are chosen to do the recruitment because they have hypnotic-like eyes. So I don't have any time for these groups. They are there to take away your freedom and your sovereignty and to make you worship something that isn't there for your own benefit. So if this person wants to try and email me, I'd be very happy just to, I wouldn't charge, it would just do a 5 or 10 minute Skype just to see if they have anything in there that perhaps shouldn't be there.
Okay, so the question, is my intention and free will enough to protect me, is no, you need help. But the next question is Jehovah, Yahweh, is he Anu? Is Jehovah an archon or a reptilian?
Oh, that's a really, really good question.
Yeah.
right. Even I, who think I know quite a bit about the reptilian culture, I struggle with that very question, because there was more than one sun. And when they fell out of favor, they took themselves away from the family and set themselves up in their own right. So, you know, you have one sun in what South America, the Aztec, the Mayan group. And then that might go to see the Zulu tribe in Africa. I am not convinced it's Anu. I think it's one of the sons. So but I can't be 100% certain.
You know what's interesting in the chat room? A lot of people are saying, you know, oh, I escaped Judaism. I'm an escaped Catholic. It's like, this is a kind of refuge vessel, you know, people swimming in the sea.
But you know what, JP?
The collapse of religion.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what, JP? When people, through no fault of their own, get sucked into religion for a whole myriad of reasons, It's their own personal journey. And those that are meant to break free will, because what happens is they think, hang on a minute, this isn't actually helping me. This is helping the people on the top. And they begin to appreciate that they themselves are what matters, not the system or the structure or anybody else. And they then make a conscious choice to remove themselves, which is usually very painful. It means they lose friends and family. But they are so determined to break free, they do. And then when they look back, they say, oh my God, how did I ever get sucked into that? But the point was that they went through a learning process and they are the stronger for it. And, you know, they must never forget that.
Excellent. So that is, you know, it's such a thing. Anyway, so she says, thank you, Simon and JP, for connecting consciousness. Now, very brief from Rose. Hi, Simon. When will the truth about the cancer cure be revealed?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, please refer to your earlier answer about the pharmacist. Anyway, please.
It won't be until everything else is revealed. It's part of the dominoes waiting in a big group, in a big bunch. It's not the fact that they don't want to give the cancer cure out just for itself. I mean, yes, they make lots of money because they treat it with chemotherapy and God knows what else. But the fact is that it's not the cancer cure itself. It's the question that comes up. How long have you had this cure for? That's the point. It's not about the free energy so much that all the corporations are making trillions and trillions, which they are, but it's, oh, how long have you had it for? Where did you get it from? Because when one part of the wall comes down, then all the other elements of the wall are called into question. So the cure for cancer would be something that came out after we have a situation in the Western world, which means that ordinary average people are left with no alternative but to completely change the way that they view society and the value-based system around them. And so when the elite structure falls, then the cure for cancer will be one of many things that is released. Now, the question was when. So I think that the lady is asking for a date. I gave three dates, March to April, June, July, and I initially said October, November, and then I added September to that. These are the three key points. And, you know, we had the terrorist incident, unfortunately, in March, which I predicted to be in Belgium. I'm predicting a financial situation and a political situation. So if we're going to get a cancer cure, it will be one of many, many secrets that have been sat on by people who do not deserve to have that information, actually. They're not worthy of the guardianship. And many of these people believe themselves to be guardians, but they're not worthy of that. So, you know, I'm hoping that I've always said, haven't I, 2016, 2017, these are the 2 years when things will happen. So if it's not 2016, I'm hoping it's next year. So yes, within our lifetimes.
Thank you. Now, this is a slightly long question, but it's a very... this is from Horong. Greetings from Malaysia, even though at present moment I'm not in that country. When I was a hardcore Christian child, I prayed to God, and I got these chills down my spine and goosebumps. Slowly, I broke out of religion, and when I talked to myself, because I'm a loner, and thanked everything around me to feel better, maybe, including every living thing and potential spirit guides, and I get goosebumps and chills. But from time to time, hopelessness still takes over. I pray to this God again, even though I knew inside myself he's not real, and I still get chills and goosebumps. Nowadays, these chills and goosebumps are moving towards my heart, growling like a physical hungry stomach and hardened between my eyes. I can't do anything I'm supposed to do, like studying for college, and every day feels like imploding or exploding from the inside and dying. And I've suddenly developed a taste for eating raw meat. Do these chills or exploding feelings mean anything, or is this just some sort of self-centered self-diagnosis and I'm just mentally ill? Well, presumably not, if you took the time to write this question. Simon, your situation.
The key word there is the growling. if this person genuinely has heard a growling from within their own body, then they're possessed by a demon. They always growl. That's a very common sign. And they need to get in contact with me, and I'll happily get rid of it for you.
Okay. So, thank you. So, long question, short answer. From Susie. Danger during the 3 days of darkness. Hello, Wolf Spirit Radio. Please ask Simon to explain. When will the 3 days of darkness occur, and what is the danger of going outside? Thanks so much, from Susie Alvard in Idaho.
Right, I don't subscribe to this. because of planetary movements and an energy wave, which is supposed to, like a dust cloud, and this is my understanding. This may not be what the questioner is asking, but my understanding is that there is a lot of chatter at the moment about the potential of a dust cloud being placed over the Earth to protect it from harmful emissions that could be coming our way during these periods that I've actually given as dates of warning. And the drawback to this is that there would be a darkness over the Earth, and it would lower the vibrational rate of the planet, allegedly, and therefore people might be more susceptible to an attack. My understanding is that there is definitely an energy wave on its way. I'm not convinced that there will be 3 days of darkness. I do believe that positive off-planet entities are working their socks off to ensure that any physical damage to the planet that's due to occur this year will be minimal. And any belt or blanket of energy that could be placed as a shield around the Earth won't have a hugely negative issue. So I would say if that occurs, go outside and have a street party. Have no fear. Go outside and enjoy yourself, because if that is what's happening, that's actually a positive thing that's been done to help the planet. Have no fear of it.
In that mode, I'm going to play a little piece of lovely music. Do you like Beethoven?
Roll over, JW.
Welcome back to Connecting Consciousness with your host, Simon Parks. This is Wolf Spirit Radio, a listener-supported station. So if you have a spare $5, you can download all of our archives, which stretch back many years. And you can download as much as you would like to in 1 month. You can download the whole lot if you want. However, I did it the other day to make a full system backup, and it took several days to actually download it at high broadband speed. So I wouldn't really recommend it. And also, you know, if you were listening to all of those things, you wouldn't have time to listen to the live stuff, which is really happening, and we're getting the news in the moment. So, Simon.
Hi.
Good. Destiny Calls. Question for Simon Parks. That's the name, Destiny Calls.
It's a lovely name.
Isn't it? please could Simon comment on the Jonathan Reed case from 1996? Many thanks for all your hard work. Who's Jonathan Reed?
Jonathan Creek or Jonathan Reed?
No, not Jonathan Creek. Jonathan Reed, I believe, it's probably I don't know personally who that is. So.
Okay. I can't
answer like a Billy Meyer sort of thing.
Yeah, I can't answer it. What I tend not to, let's describe it really, is when I meet somebody, then I learn about them. But I don't sort of sit, and I'm not a researcher, and many people seem to think that I am. I'm not. I don't sit and trawl the internet. You know, that's a very, very dedicated skill, which I don't have. And as a result of that, there are many people who I should know that I don't know. And people sometimes say, you don't know X or you don't know Y. And I sort of just quite, you know, honestly and simply say, well, I'm really sorry that I don't know them, you know, and it's not because I I don't think I need to know them. It's just I haven't come across them. And I don't like to, not cloud my judgment. That's not what I mean. But if I'm going to do a conference, I genuinely will not research any of the other speakers. All I want to know is what is the topic they're speaking of. And it's the same way, when I do radio shows. You know, people will often say to me if I'm doing an interview, not this show, but they'll say, well, would you like the questions up front? And I'm quite horrified about that and say, no, of course I don't want to know what the questions are. It takes away the excitement of it. And so I don't have a full knowledge of all the very good and excellent people there are out there. I just hope one day I will meet them. So I'm really sorry. I don't know about that person and I can't comment.
Okay, thank you. And, you know, in response to a point earlier, you know, the chat room is whizzing past so fast, you know, I really can't keep up with it and ask questions. But basically, the system, we're oversubscribed with questions from the word go. From the moment the show started, we've already got, like, about 4 hours worth of questions. And it's getting crazy because I only opened the gate, like, an hour before, you know. So anyway...
But, you know, yeah. Remember what I offered, JP? Yeah. We could do a late show or something and try and, you know, couldn't do all of them, but we could just try and go through and try and reduce that because it's so important, isn't it? And I know you are 100% dedicated to the user, you know, the users and the listeners all being part of it. And I would hate to think that some of these questions would never be answered because it's so awful if somebody is taking the trouble to listen to our show and puts a question in and they don't get that question answered. They know that the likelihood of it being answered perhaps isn't very high. But, you know, it would just be a nice gesture at some point this in the year whether we could do a special something or other. And we could not go through the night, but we could try and, you know, try and reduce the backlog. Do you think we could do that one day?
Either that or you could have more than one show a month.
It's up to you. It's you, your airtime. You're the one that, you know, you're the technical guy.
Well, if you're, you know, if you want to do it, you know, we're doing it here on air. We're negotiating now. But if you want it, I can give you a second show because, you know, you bring people to the station. They're very nice and, it's good. So that's good.
Shall we have an off-air discussion about
it? We shall. That? We shall indeed.
Fantastic.
Meanwhile, and I haven't got my jingle set up anymore. I got very ill actually. I had an inner cleansing. It went all the way, and I also replaced the computer that I had, which was an old failing one, with a lovely gift from a gentleman in Norway. In Holland. Excuse me. And so I've got a new system, and I haven't got everything, you know, put in there.
But let's just make a point of that.
Yes.
There are so many good people. I know every day we're bombarded with negativity. And I've had people give me gifts, and it just opens your heart and it gives you the strength. You know, you think, why do I go on day after day with all the horrible things that are said about me and, you know, all the stuff that goes on? And then you meet somebody who says, you know, I got my computer gifted to me, you know, and that's so wonderful. Somebody who's got a reasonably good job and, you know, follows the subject but doesn't quite understandably want to put their head above the parapet and get it full of arrows says, look, you know, I'd like to help you because I support what you do. And they give us presents, and it's that keeps us going. It keeps us going emotionally, but it also keeps us going technically, you know, like many of us. You know, I don't have a 9-to-5 job anymore. I gave that up. So when somebody gives me a gift of a computer or something like that, then that's such a godsend. So, you know, if people are giving you gifts, JP, it's because they recognize in you somebody who's fighting against the system and trying to do good. And so to everyone who has given a gift to anybody, wherever they are, that's so lovely. Thank you very much.
Indeed. Many, many thanks for particularly to John. He also sent me birthday presents. He sent me a bunch of gluten-free treats and snacks. which was because I've been.
I get people that send me presents for the cats, you know, and that's really, they send me, and I get that's brilliant. I get them; they come from America or Canada, and I think, oh, is it something I can eat? that doesn't smell quite the sort of thing I'll eat, and I'll tentatively have a look. No. But no, you know, it needs to be recognised, and this is a great way. To recognize the fact that there are good people out there. Look, there are good people out there who like the rest of us don't have much money and they can't do it. If they had money, they would. But those people who have, you know, they're on, you know, they're in a lucky position. They've got a well-paid job. They're doing something positive and that's brilliant. So yeah, that's just, I just wanted to say that, JP. That's all.
No problem. Thank you. So, here's a really good question. And this is from, Spirit Bunny. Geography. Mars. What event or events triggered the collapse of Mars's magnetic field?
When we did the roundtable talk, didn't go into it in a huge detail for two reasons. One, because it's incredibly personal to him. And secondly, because it wasn't the Wynne Keats show. It was a roundtable show and he could have talked for ages on that.
We will do a very big, I'd like to do a Maldek special myself.
All right, so, okay. That sounds like you're going to tie a load of gelignite around yourself and send you off to the...
Ha, ha, ha.
Right, let's get back to it.
Meanwhile... Yeah, go on. So, yeah, but Wynne Keats...
I had to get one back on you.
I know. It's only fair.
You're taking the mickey out of me.
It's only fair.
Right. So, it didn't just lose its magnetic field. It lost its oceans as well. That's a key point. And if you look at the Earth, the crust, and one hemisphere of the Earth, the crust is as average. On the other part of the hemisphere, our crust is only about a quarter of the thickness. And that's the side that took the blast. So there was I call it a nuclear explosion, but not the nuclear that we understand. Sort of an antimatter type explosion, which is still a nuclear reaction. Which took off all of the oceans of Mars, wiped out, removed its atmosphere. Mars had an atmosphere. It didn't have a strong atmosphere like we did, but it had an atmosphere. And that's why today it still has a very slight atmosphere. I don't hold with the view that you could stand there and breathe without an oxygen mask. You couldn't. But there is a slight atmosphere. So it was a huge explosion which took off the water. The water... A large part of the Mars oceans were caught in the Earth's gravitational field and were brought in and added to the water that we already had. That's why the Earth has more water than land. Originally, we were 50-50, which is exactly what you would have. 50% land, 50% water. But we don't now. We have 2/3, 66% is water, I believe, and the rest is land because of the added water from Mars. So it was a nuclear type explosion and Mars was, quite close to that. So this was a mission by a Palladian stroke Lyran task force wiping out a very, very nasty, nest of reptilians who were using, sometimes people call it Maldek, were using a large object as a staging point to go on to another constellation and were making plans for an attack. And so it had been predicted that had this attack gone on, it could have swung the war. We call them the Palladian-Lyran Wars. Previous to this, they were just the Lyran Wars, and the Palladians became involved, or one arm of the Palladians became involved. And my good friend, Wynne, has very, very clear memories. They're not dreams. You know, many majority of people do get good memories back as dreams. But, of course, unfortunately, you know, it's very hard to be 100% convinced of that because it was a dream. But if you get a memory in waking time, then, you know, if you don't believe it, it's because you're choosing not to. And he's had a waking memory of that actual operation. So it was a very difficult choice because many, many people died, and not just the people who were targeted. They were very innocents were killed. That is why the Palladians carry a huge karma because of the number of innocents that lost their lives. And this is why 3 years ago I got sick to the back teeth with the New Age people waving their arms in the air and saying, oh, Palladians are sweetness and light. I want to be a Palladian. Oh, I'm a Palladian. And I said, well, you know, do you actually realize the culture? And, of course, that didn't go down so well. And then, of course, you know, introduce people like Wim Keach and who can give some balance to all this. Palladians are good people. But the reason they're still here is because they kick back. And some of these kickbacks were questionable. And the attack on Maldek and the destruction of that was questionable. And so anybody who's a Palladian and is aware will go through that turmoil within themselves. You cannot watch Ender's Game if you're a Palladian and you are in connection with yourself. You cannot watch Ender's Game without being emotionally moved by the end of the film. Because in the end of the film, a whole planet is destroyed and all the life forms on it. So, yeah.
So that's the reflection, that's the echo of destroying Maldek and the psychic shock which that would have produced. I mean, as well as the physical damage, i.e. The asteroid belt, the Kuiper belt, the deluge, the destruction of Mars's atmosphere, the burning of the seas of Mars. Apart from all that, there was the psychic shockwave as well that reverberates throughout the universe instantly.
But you see, that's the point, because that's what sacrifices are all about. When you end the biological life of a living creature, there is a huge amount of energy released. And what the black magicians want, and the people who kill children, is they want that energy that is released at the point of physical death. And so if you know how to use that energy for bad purposes, because you wouldn't do it for good purposes, but for bad purposes, it's like charging your battery up. And so when you get these situations on the planet, there's a terrorist attack supposedly taking place in one country, that is fueling psychic energy for something else, which is not being in the news, is not being covered, but something else is occurring in another planet, and another country. And we had that with the CERN. We had some terrorist attacks, and at the same time they were going on, CERN was trying to be ramped up to a high point and using the death agonies, and this is horrendous, but that's what these psychopaths do, the death agonies of individuals killed in these terrible, terrible, tragic circumstances, and using the energy to boost artificially what they have. And that's what they call magic. You know, that's what they call magic. So, absolutely. So, you know, it was a nuclear explosion, but it wasn't designed to do what it did. It was overkill. And I mean the word deliberately. It was far too powerful for what they required. And we're very lucky that the Earth didn't sustain more damage. Okay.
Thank you, Simon. That's, the question doesn't finish there. The Red Sea, and what's the deal with the Red Sea? What history does it have that history books doesn't account for?
Well,
so is that a connection?
No, the Red Sea comes after that. With the situation with the first part of the question was a very long time ago, millions of years ago. The Red Sea is in terms of thousands of years ago, potentially 100,000 years ago. I don't have the exact dates on it. That part of the world did see a warfare not unlike the weaponry that we have today. And many lands and seas were poisoned because of the way that the Red Sea drains. It is just like a lagoon or a lake. And once you eliminate life and you change the biological composition of the soil or the earth, then it cannot repair itself. So it will only ever become, in this case, more saline. Because there's been connections to another water source or a connection to a land that's not going to keep on draining minerals into it.
All right. No, that's the Dead Sea. So the Red Sea is the one.
Yes, but what I'm saying is that what you've got is a number of small, not oceans, small lagoons or rivers or small oceans.
Oh, I see what you mean.
That mimic, but a big ocean can cope with the situation. It can repair and it can grow. But small, waterways tend to hold on to that energy, if want of a better word, for a very long time. So when you're looking at, say, the Red Sea, remember we're talking about, you know, places like Galilee and other, religious Bible type entries. They are holding energy for something that occurred a very long time ago. So if you had that skill, I don't have that skill, you could actually stand at these places, and some people can do this, and they can actually commune or connect. Most people do it with a standing stone, a great megalith, but you can do it with some part of the ocean. You can almost have a video play of what has occurred in the past that made that location or that place the way it was. So all I can say about that is that something occurred in that location a good few thousand years ago, and it never actually changed or healed, but became connected with a religious, you know, it was very, very important for certain people to live on the shores of it, or, you know, any land that that particular sea or ocean went through was obviously going to be blessed. So it was used as a marker. The question... I may have not understood the question fully, but that's the best answer I can give.
Okay, so. Wondering about sleep from Andre. What happens when we sleep? Why do we need sleep? And will we need less sleep if we raise our vibration? How much sleep is needed depending on the vibration?
Right. My answer is not going to agree with anything that a doctor would tell you. when we sleep, we connect without any interference to source. We connect and we almost replay what's occurred and we reaffirm for what is to come. That is why if you don't have sleep, you become muddled and confused. It's not just the physical body tired. It's the fact that the information from source, which we're all connected to source 24/7, but when we sleep, we change our vibrational rate and we open up the chakras to allow that information to come through in it as an encoded form. And if we don't connect back in that way, as we're meant to do, back to source, then we don't have the encoding, I don't want the word program, but we don't have the encoding for the following day. We're not reconnecting back to where we've come from. And if you are deprived of sleep, it is not just a physical running down, it is a spiritual running down. Yes, we're always connected to source, but we are designed to shut down for certain number of hours in a cycle and to reconnect clearly without any interference. That's the point. No television, no radio, nobody talking to you. Connect straight to source and to recharge. And the only reason it's nighttime is because our eyes are designed to see in light. So therefore we sleep in the night because we can't see. If it was the other way around, we'd sleep in the day and we would connect to source in the day. So that's purely and simply it. That it's not just the physical body that craves sleep. It is your soul craving a connection back to source because it wants that pure, uninterrupted element. And that is why the elite psychopaths with their Tesla stolen technology do all or nearly all of their attacks at night to people when they're sleeping, because they wish to hack into this channel and they wish to give people false memories or false ideas or to attack them, because that is when the human is acting as an Aerion and is trying to connect with the creational force. So these bad guys understand that very clearly, and hence that's why many attacks occur at night time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is from Astra Galactica. 2012 Dream. Hello, JP and Simon. Thank you so much for your avid commitment to ufology. You truly are fantastic people. I'm so glad to listen and help with this change. I have a question for Simon about a dream I had. It started on the night of December the 21st, 2012, 21st, 27th. I dreamed of my mother and me driving in downtown Atlanta, Georgia, when all of a sudden the sky had turned a jade pastel mint color and the sun turned into a great cosmic aurora. I got the sense that our sun in the dream wasn't dying but transforming from an energetic shift into another dimension. As this happened, I began to see auras of everyone, everything around me, but half of the Earth's population could not. But there were others like me, including this scruffy biker guy in a gang who wouldn't look ascended but had a soul of gold. From there, my dream took me to the forest where me, the biker guy, and others were meeting into this ascended, colourful forest, but for an unknown purpose. What in the world did I dream about? Much love and pastel dreams from Astral Galactica.
Right, well, I think I would go to my local paint shop and ask for a jade pastel mint colour. That's amazing. I don't know what a jade pastel mint colour is, but it sounds really great. Actually, most bikers are very awake. And the reason they're awake is because they have separated themselves from the control of society. So, you know, many people who form groups or clubs which are not part of the establishment do so because they have an alternative lifestyle. So it's not just people who go off-grid, but there are many people who wish to seek that. So it's interesting that in this particular dream it is a biker. Now, I don't know whether the person has a fetish for, you know, guys in leather on motorbikes, and why not. But I think it's more likely that this is a person who has broken free of the control system. Now, I don't know what I would do if this was my client. I would now be asking a whole series of questions to get answers, but I can't do that, obviously. I don't think this is a prophecy, because many people wonder if a dream is something that's yet to come. I think it's about the individual who is on the verge of truly breaking free, this lady. And she is going to meet somebody who is going to set her on the path of freedom. Seeing the auras basically means that she moves from the physical 3D and becomes psychic. And remember, I've tried to talk about the difference between being spiritual and being psychic. So, you know, if you see auras, you're psychic. If you're a spiritual person, that doesn't mean you'll see auras. So I think it's a potential that this individual has, and her soul is trying to tell her conscious mind through dream state that this is a potential for her if only she will follow it through. So she'll probably say to me, yes, but I am very spiritual, and I'm sure she is. But sometimes we have to go that extra mile. We have to do something extra. It's very dangerous to sit back and say, well, I've done it now. I'm spiritual, and I do this and I do that. That's very dangerous. We always have to say, well, what can I do better, and what opportunities are there for me to learn and to help? So I think it's a positive dream. I'd like her to look at her life and try to understand the people she's mixing with, and ask herself, do the people she mix with actually take her forward in her life, or are they holding her back? So that's what I would say to her.
Would she like to ride with the angels? Yeah. Do you ride a motorbike? Did you?
Or have you? No.
You never have?
Not once.
Uh-huh. Well, I did once, and until 30 years ago, and when I bang into a car, I thought, that's not a good idea. So, I did, you know, I decided, you know, I wanted to, I rebuilt the bike and I rebuilt my body and I got back on it and I rode around for a while. And then one day it was raining, and I went to see my friend in Holloway, and I got a puncture. And that was it. Ooh. I got a puncture in the rain, and that's the last thing you want as a biker. So I took my helmet and went home by bus.
Oh.
And that was the last I saw of it. Yeah, I think I actually just abandoned the bike. You know, just go away. That's the end of that. So, that's, But
Wynn's a great motorbike person.
I imagine he's a fast rider. Anyway, so meanwhile, back to somebody else.
The friend that was very instrumental in setting up Kinetic Consciousness, she was a great biker as well. There's a thing about bikers.
Really? Interesting. Because yeah. Putin has got a biker gang.
He's got a biker club.
Yeah. And, how cool is that? How cool is that to have to be a president of a company with people who love you? And you can really see that he loves the people and they love him. It's a very heart-based thing.
The approval rating is the highest of any leader. Forget places like, North Korea and things like that where it's all fake, but of any democracy, if there is such a thing, but he has the highest leader approval rating ever. And that's what the Western world doesn't like. Can't understand it.
So indeed, yes. Hey, if anybody wants to send me a bicycle.
JP, it'll rain and you'll get a puncture.
I know, and then I'll leave it and I'll just walk home with the
Mind you, you get those folding bikes now, couldn't you? So if you got a puncture, you could just fold it up, put it in your rucksack and go on.
Simon, when you and Wynn figure out the levitating motorbike, because probably likely in Britain to be the first people, is going to be him, isn't it?
Correct.
I wouldn't mind.
We've already looked at the power source for it. Indeed. I can tell you that now, yes.
Because you wouldn't crash in them, because they have a gravity field. They're sending out a pressure in front of them, so they don't hit things. In theory, no?
Well, UFOs don't hit. Well, we don't want to go too loud, but it's a magnetic field. In fact, when human-built spacecraft actually leave the Earth's atmosphere, they have alien or back-engineered technology in the craft sending out a magnetic field to repel small meteorites, because if they didn't, there wouldn't be a single Apollo capsule or spacecraft that could ever get out of the Earth's atmosphere, because it would be holed by all the tiny bits of rock in space. And so they have this technology which acts as a magnetic field. I mean, Star Trek, what they call the shields, but they have what they call, they got it right actually, they call it navigational shields. Which allow you to navigate around small blockages or objects. But anyway, we're off topic.
Interesting, though. Anyway, from Teresa from Switzerland. Dear Simon and JP, thank you so much for all your energy and time both of you invest in spreading the truth.
Thank you.
Your interviews are encouraging and helping to believe in a positive outcome of challenging situations we all face in life. Mm-hmm. Simon. What would you recommend to someone who would like to become an intergalactic coach somewhere, sometime in the future? What would be the first steps in order to achieve a successful result for all sides? Thanks and greetings.
Right. It's not a crazy question, actually. You could pay $5,000 to Dr. Stephen Greer and go and stand on a hill in the desert and learn how to try and communicate with aliens. Or you can think back to your childhood and see if you've had any connections, and you can talk to me or anyone else who has that sort of experience for far less than $5,000. And you can make an intent that you wish, without fear and without greed, to be in a position to be a bridge between two types of energy. One is waning and one is growing, to allow that which is changing to merge with which is that of the future. And if it's meant to be, then it's meant to be. There are some most unlikely people on the planet who, in their non-waking world, are doing some amazing stuff that they have no knowledge of. An example. I used to, when I had a paid job, I was what we call in England and Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland, a driving instructor, but what the Americans call a driving teacher. I like the word teacher, that's nice. And I used to teach people to drive. And I got a phone call from America He obviously knew his stuff because he could work the times out. And he wanted to talk to me, just generally chat. And we had about 3 or 4 phone calls. And he then proceeded to tell me about a driving instructor, woman, in Britain, who at 2 or 3 o'clock every morning got up, went out, and gave hybrid, half-human, half-alien people driving lessons at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and then came back, went back to bed, got up in the morning, and knew nothing about it. So my question to him was, well, how do you know that? Which, you know, he was very, very cagey. And ultimately, in the end, when I basically said, look, you work for American intelligence, don't you? And then I never got any more phone calls again from him. But the reality is that there are many, many people who are having a otherworld existence and have no clue of it. And the first indication you should have is when you wake up in the morning and you feel that you have climbed Mount Everest and you didn't do anything naughty the night before. You went to bed at a reasonable time and yet you wake up in the morning absolutely shattered. And when that starts to occur, or when you find that your front door is unlocked, and yet you knew you locked it the night before, or something along those lines, then you can begin to perhaps have an idea that you are doing something. Now, if you're doing something in another dimension at night, then it's very possible that there may come an opportunity for you to do that in this reality. But it's all about you, your intent, whether you have fear, and whether the energies of the time are in tune with you, or whether you are in tune with the energies of that time. So you might be the right person in 1990, but the event doesn't happen. And by the time the event happens, it's no longer your place to do that, but you might do something else. So I would just say, if you want to do it, there's one thing above all else that you must have, and that's absolutely no fear. Because if you have fear, you cannot, I'll give you an example where the American military were talking to a group of off-planet entities, who were called the Conformers. I think they were called the Conformers. And these are crystalline creatures who, when they speak, they sound like that you're dropping ice cubes into a metal bucket. That's the best way to describe how it sounds like. You've got a great bag of ice cubes and you pour them into a metal bucket. And when you communicate with these creatures, there's a set protocol and a set way of doing it. And you have to learn all the different protocols and all the different ways for all the different races. And, you know, if you don't pronounce the name correctly, of course, it's all done in your head. You're not speaking with your mouth. But if you get it wrong, it's a terrible insult. And if you act in another, so a terrible one would be the reptilians. When a reptilian meets a human for the first time, so that particular human is meeting in a military base, that human has to bend forward, put his or her, particularly a male, they don't like males, put his hands on his knees, so he's bending forward. And that's a sign of submission. Now, if he didn't know to do that, then goodness knows what would happen. I mean, I guess that you would have, there must be some sort of training manual. But that's with the negatives. Now, with the positives, they don't set those sort of prerequisites. But in the time to come, I'm hoping that, for want of a better word, the table will have a great number of people around it, all ranging from different backgrounds with different values. And there has to be a common denominator. And the human race of planet Earth has to be represented. And by God, it cannot be represented by any of the leaders, apart from Putin, but it can't be represented by any of the leaders that we have at the moment, because they would just sell the human race down the river. That's one of the reasons that we've not had open contact, because these ascended creatures do not want to meet with the leaders that we have elected, because the leaders we have elected, frankly, are not up to the job. So why would you want to come 10 trillion, 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 billion miles to try to enhance a planet and its population if you're going to be met by somebody who's just rubbing his hands together and saying, okay, what's in it for me? And so that's the situation we have. That's one of the key reasons we haven't had open contact, because who wants to sit round the table with these smarmy politicians? Because that's what would happen. They would be the ones who would take themselves off and say, we're having a meeting. That's why we've got to have a fundamental change on this planet. I'd love to change the way we elect leaders. We elect people who speak to us. I'd love to change all of the dynamics of that. I served as a local politician. I've done it. I've seen it. I've worn the T-shirt. I understand how it works, and it's just a trap. It's just a con. You know, it's just the way it's the system controlling it. It doesn't matter whether you're Labour, Conservative, or Republican or Democrat, because the system is designed that those individuals have very little leeway in between. And if they do, then they end up like JF Kennedy with a bullet through his head. So we need to change the system. We need to change it fundamentally. And then once we've had that, we will begin to get this open contact. And we will need people to advocate on behalf of humanity, because the vast majority of humans will just collapse in a ball because their whole world has been turned upside down. And then people like me shouldn't say, ha ha, I told you so. People like me should say, right, get on your feet. This is what we've got to do. You know, it's not the end of the world. You've got to get on with your life, and, you know, how can we be positive? So, yeah, good luck to you.
Thank you, Simon. So, Janet, AI, machine riders. Now, there seem to be two programs on Earth, nature versus AI. The Pleiadians, as channeled by Barbara Marciniak, she of the smooth, silky voice, describe a group of people incarnated now who are here to willingly incorporate AI into their bodies, the machine riders. From Simon's perspective, is this a specific soul group, or are some people just more susceptible to the programming of the artificial world versus the natural world? If Wi-Fi does become sent from satellites, how can we retain the program of the natural world? Yes, how do we retain the organic vibration? How do we keep going with that?
Right. Well, that's very concerning, what you've just read, actually. I would be incredibly cautious of anybody. There's the transhuman agenda, which the elites are pushing, and that's what the film The Tomorrowland film was about. It was about old AI is bad, new AI is good. In other words, it's the combination of biological body and robotics are good. This is transhumanism. Let me take it back. If I was, and I'm not, but if I was an energy being that wanted to control the planet, but wasn't capable of physical form and could only influence by manipulating happenings and people's thoughts, I would want to have the control through physicality. But with all of these bad guys, they have to get humans to do the work for them, because the law is they can't do it. They can't actually go and do it themselves. Otherwise, they'd be omnipotent. So the law of the multiverse is that if they can willingly convince the physicals, the people, the physicals, to do something, then it's almost like an arrangement. So what they're trying to do is to get people to turn their back on source, turn their back on the biology, and to become robotic. Is this not what happened on one timeline when the humans, the Illuminati, took themselves on the underground bases and became almost wiped out, and then were greeted by a group of greys who then said, we'll give you technology to convert your bodies into robotics and you'll never die? The elite always have sought never to die, whether it's cryogenic chambers or this, that, and the other. They just want to live forever. And this is one way of trying to convince humanity through Hollywood. There have been so many films of robots, half people, half human. Now, when the first Terminator film came out, we were shown a robot that was half human, half robot, who was totally evil, the first Terminator. And that was too much for Hollywood. So then we got The second one, he became a good guy. And the third one, he was a good guy. So we are being, I won't say conditioned because humans aren't stupid, but we're attempting to be conditioned that mixing biology and robotics is a very good thing. You go on the internet now, there's loads of stories about robots. You go on to the supermarket shelves, you get a DVD, there's lots of stuff about alien invasion or AI or robots. There have been for a number of years. I would reject anybody who came to me and said, I had a message the other day, and there are these beings coming down, and they're half human, half robotic, and they want us to embrace this technology and become like them. That's as bad as saying that the spaceship's landed in the back of your garden, Earth is totally destroyed, but we'll take you to another lovely planet and just jump on the spacecraft. It's, you know, it's the same trick and trap. I don't know Barbara, and I don't know the ins and outs, but I do know that in 75% of cases, genuine, honest channelers have their communications altered and hacked. And they don't immediately pick it up. It's sometimes weeks, months, or years later they realize that they're being interfered with. So I've always said to people, trust yourself, believe in yourself, ask the soul in your own body what is right and what is wrong. Do not give your power away to anybody. If someone's saying something to you and it doesn't seem right, then walk away from it. But if it seems right to you, then you'll make a free will choice. So I always do my best never to criticize individuals, because if I go about on a radio show criticizing people, then, you know, tit for tat, and then it just descends into a slanging match. But I'm not attacking the individual, I'm attacking the message here. You know, mixing artificial intelligence and biology is good if it allows a disabled child to walk. We shouldn't have wars, but if you have a war veteran and it allows that person to lead a more useful life, a happy life, then that's good. But it's not good if you start plugging in thought processes. If you start allowing decisions to be made for you by a machine, that's where we draw the line. And that's what they want to do. They want to say, you know, you humans, you keep making mistakes, but the machine doesn't make a mistake. Now, we all know it does, but the argument is the machines don't make a mistake, so why don't you become like a machine? And there are souls on this planet, people, who have artificial intelligence souls. They have energy souls that have come from a reptilian spacecraft or a reptilian facility that was a program running. And I do not even now understand how a program running in a machine can somehow incarnate in a human body, but I'm absolutely positive it can, because I've met these people. So it is the greatest threat. The greatest threat to humanity is not the reptilians. It is the archonic AI connection. Because what's not understood is the reptilians are just as manipulated by the archonic AI as we are. And in fact, they were part of the bridge to us, because they were running artificial intelligence advanced programs on their computer facilities, which were infected and got at. So it's a battle, and we really, really must hold on to the divine creational force that we all are. And I would beg people, please, reject anybody or anything that tells you to give away your own self-control or your own sovereignty for something. It's just not worth it. You know, you were created on this planet for a purpose. You are a living creature. Do not give yourself away to something that's just designed to trick you. So it's an impassioned call from the heart. Okay.
Well, but it's true. You know, nature versus AI, nature every time. So probably time for maybe one last question, Simon. As always, whizzes by, so definitely we need to do it again. But the thing is, every time we do a show, we get another bunch more questions. Mm-hmm. It's a bit like painting the fourth bridge. Anyhow, so Jessica Kay from California. Hello, dear Simon. Thank you so much for being so brave and for all your hard work. You are such a kind and gentle man, and I feel honored to be able to ask you a question.
Thank you.
Since you remember being Adam, do you remember any other lives you've lived? And in other lives, did you also get contacted by the mantid beings and your reptilian father? Or did the first time happen as Simon?
You know, that's the first time anyone's asked me that question.
Interesting. There's more, though.
Let's just do that one.
Yeah, okay, because it goes into the soul trap. So is Simon the first one with the mummy and a daddy thing? But, I mean, it's not the same. I don't know. You explain. You know. I don't know.
I would have said yes, because you'd think you wouldn't have that happen more than once. But I have a very, very clear memory of being a hybrid. I mean, we're all hybrids to a certain extent, aren't we? Some more than others, but a very obvious hybrid. It's a bit stereotypical, but the backdrop was the Sphinx, interestingly enough. And then the creature that I call Mum, the Mantid Mum, coming up to me. So I know, at some time, I mean, the Sphinx is older than the pyramid, I think. So sometime between now and the last 10,000 years, then there has been that connection. Unfortunately, I haven't got a previous memory of the creature that I refer to as Dad. I have some past life memories, but the Mum creature is the only one that I know I've seen, or at least I can remember. So I'd have to say no, it's not just this manifestation, this lifetime. Although would have to question the soul, my soul makeup, whether my soul makeup in this manifestation is the same as in previous manifestations. So that's something I have often wondered. Past lives, the most recent one I can remember would be about 1799. I think it was born in 1799, died in 1847. So I have one past life that's the most recent I know of, which would be, you know, that time I've just given. Then there's a huge gap in my memory, or at least I didn't come on this planet. And then I've got what we call the biblical times. That's very, very strong in that period of time. Sort of between maybe 3000 BC and 7000, 8000 BC. So that period of time is very, very busy for me. And then again, a long gap, and I don't have any memory. And then we go right back to, I don't know, 200,000 years ago. And the period of time that the questioner first referred to. Yeah, I hope that helps.
Thank you so much, Simon. This has been Connecting Consciousness with Simon Parks. And do you have any final messages for this period?
I think it's just basically, you know, we are entering a very, 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 very important time. The people who, there have been many, many whistleblowers and insiders who have warned that the elite were going to do something, and year after year after year nothing happens, etc., etc. Well, you know, when I come back to the beginning of the show where I talked about that there is going to be a very special meeting of these people, and they are going to have to come to a resolution. There is a motion going before them, or a series of motions, if one falls, one of the motion falls is a sort of committee speak now. It doesn't mean the other motions automatically fall automatically from that. So if the first motion is voted down, then there will be a second or possibly a third one. Variations on a theme. So there are, finally, these crazy people are putting the crazy thoughts to the vote. So that's where we are with this. Now, whether that is false flag, alien invasion, whether it's the detonation of some sort of device, I don't know. But that's where we are at the moment. So As soon as I get information, then I'll make sure I tell you on the radio show.
Thank you very much. An ominous sounding ending, but stay tuned because better things are going to come along the way after this. Okay, thank you very much, Simon. Good night.
No, thank you, and thank you to everyone else. Bye-bye.